I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in the summer, a three-judge panel said that 16 commander positions, middle managers who do not have broad authority to create policy, do not meet civil service rules for at-will positions. Just recently, the Louisiana Supreme Court denied writs in the appeal by the city on that judgment, and now there's some question as to whether or not these 16 commander positions are in fact eliminated. Joining us on the line is Ronald Surpass, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola and the former NOPD chief, and happened to be responsible for the creation of these commander positions. Ronald, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheriff Newell, how are you? Good day, I hope.
Yeah, it is, except I'm not so sure about this judgment. I mean, you tell me. I understand the civil service rules can be overbearing sometimes, but I have to ask the question in this way, looking at the difference between chiefs and sheriffs. If you're responsible to the public and the desire that almost anywhere in this country, when you poll law enforcement, it's the top three issues, and understanding the volatility of that, why would one really believe that you're going to go out looking for a less than qualified individual, make it political patronage, and think that someone can actually contest into being a leader?
Well, my goodness, that is truth to power. Everything you've just said is crucial to understanding how senior law enforcement leader positions are picked around the country. So what happened here is the Supreme Court, I suspect, relying on the constitutional creation of the civil service system and the civil service system creating itself as it affects New Orleans. This is decades old, right? This is 1940s and 50s stuff. Right. Secondly, the Louisiana Constitution, though, allows sheriffs to have unfettered ability to employ their deputies. And I guess the argument could be made, well, sheriffs are directly accountable through the election process, thus there'd be less chance for corruption if that's their point of view. Well, if that's their point of view, the mayor gets elected every 4 years as well. But putting that aside for a second, the biggest issue is the Supreme Court apparently ruled on what is already written. What has to happen is we need to think more globally in Louisiana to be like so many other states in the nation to change some of these decades-old rules. For example, I've always thought this is interesting. You get hung up in these past policy practice discussions with labor groups and with groups around law. Well, it was a law that you could discriminate in public education based on race until the education decisions of the Supreme Court in the 50s. If we can change law, we need to change this. Finally, all this issue about commanders was done in the full light of day. We did it during my time. We did it in front of the Civil Service Commission. We had public hearings. We made our argument. We made an argument that was successfully approved by the Civil Service Commission, everything in the light of day for the very reasons you just mentioned. So clear that no police chief is going to appoint people who are going to cause that chief to fail, I think, if you even wanted to argue that. And secondly, we did what we thought the Civil Service Commission could approve. They thought they could approve it. They approved it, and these older laws, I suspect, is what reversed it. I hope a different day can come for New Orleans and its residents and around the state.
Well, when you think about putting a lot of stock in who your leader of the organization is going to be and his or her strategic ideology as it relates to law enforcement, how would you affect change in the culture of an organization if you have little or no control on the people that you're asking to affect that cultural change?
I can guarantee you, after 34 years of serving and hired three times, once by a governor and three times by a mayor, to be a change agent, you cannot change an organization unless you bring in fundamental ability to manage and motivate and pick and select senior leaders who can provide the service required. You know, this notion that I hear around this idea, and I think you might have heard it too in our careers, is that somehow or another you're only going to pick political sycophants. Well, the problem with that is there's countless sheriffs who are successful, who had the ability to pick and choose senior leaders. There's countless police chiefs around the country who were able to select their leaders. And whether or not people believe I was successful or not, there are some who would say we were very successful in Washington, and by law there I was able to pick everybody above the rank of lieutenant as a senior leader. And in Nashville, we picked senior leaders and prevailed at the Tennessee Supreme Court on an incredibly similar case. So it's really an issue not so much about the pros and cons of what the police associations argued on this. I mean, it is what it is. They prevailed. That's fine. It's the people have to demand that the constitutional inhibitors on creating flexibility in the civil service system has to catch up with the 21st century, not the 19th or the 20th century.
Well, not unlike, let me rephrase that. Going back, at some point, Tom, and I think it may have been under your leadership, you guys decided to decentralize.
Correct.
Is that correct?
1996.
So you actually empowered commanders of the district who now had bureau personnel, intelligence personnel,
narcotics agents,
and everything else. So you basically created this decentralized model, which actually put more of a burden on your district commanders and their ability to lead, not less, and moving away from more of a militaristic style organization to this more decentralized. I was faced with some of the same issues and whether or not I had a desire to do it. I actually didn't do it because I didn't feel like I had the adequate bench available to me at the time.
That's a calculation for sure.
Yeah, but it just seems to me that runs completely contrary to what the Civil Service Commission consultant that they hired to do a study. And I'm just kind of curious how they walked all over that because, you know, policy and practice are very synonymous in many ways. And
well,
you have shifting strategies almost daily, and when you're thinking about intelligence-led policing, you have a lot of discretion. And discretion actually influences the policy of the organization.
Absolutely. Just as a minute for something I'm very proud of, I was elected vice president of the Police Chiefs Association, 35,000 worldwide members. I can tell you this from being elected and being nominated as the fifth honorary president in its 125-year history. Guess what? 95% of our membership, 95% of the police chiefs in America, thereabouts, have 100 or fewer cops. So in these decentralized police departments that New Orleans did, Phoenix did, Baltimore did, Nashville did, those district commanders are leading more people than 95% of the police chiefs in America and have almost equally the same diversity of command responsibility. Just as you pointed out so brilliantly, they've got narcotics detectives, they got intelligence functions, they got crime analytic functions, they got crime labs that some of them actually directly control. So part of this process is Louisiana has a very old constitutional question on how civil service departments create and act. It's old. It's the 1940s and 50s. We're almost 100 years past that. We need to see an update so a Supreme Court could rule like the one in Tennessee did, which agreed with our characterization of reorganization in civil service required a change in command leadership positions. Tennessee Supreme Court ruled in our favor, but the laws were a little bit different. Louisiana's laws need to catch up with the rest of the world.
Would it be unfair to
the rest of the nation, I should say, not the world.
Would it be unfair to say that some of the systemic issues that the organization has been dealing with for decades, most of which revealed itself under the old form, but prior to the naming of these commanders and so forth? Because actually, when I look at it, the cultural changes that have changed since then have been mostly positive. In fact, it created a greater sense of urgency and a greater sense of accountability.
I think there's no question that that argument could be made because the leadership that was in place during the Katrina environment, stressed as they were, God, nobody in the country went through what they went through. I respect it. I know you respect it. But there was some holes that got created in the aftercare. There were some holes that were obvious in the administration of the police department, such that the United States Department of Justice framed its investigation of civil rights investigation of the New Orleans Police Department from this period of time. Well, not a lot of people know this. From 2005 until 2010. That was the frame of reference and required investigation by the DOJ. It wasn't 90 to 2005. It wasn't 2010 to 2014. It was in the post 5 years, and that's where so many systemic errors in leadership, discipline, accountability, training, succession planning, et cetera. That's where the consent decree is created. That's what it is created from. And the senior leadership in place, many of them were hardworking people doing the very best they could under conditions that were horrific. But in the fourth year, in the third year, in the second year away, the systems that needed to recover the department didn't affect itself. We have a consent decree primarily because of that.
So as I read the decision, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to read it, it seems as though there was more of a deficiency in process as opposed to anything else.
Yes. So part of that I'm going to be a little unaware of, because during the 4 years I was superintendent, the position of commander was a hybrid position that we created in consultation with the Civil Service Department staff and legal, and that's how we got to where we were. After I retired, it's my understanding they went to the Civil Service Commission and requested to create more unclassified positions. So that part of it, I'm not exactly clear of what happened. I know the piece we did, not to defend it as right or wrong, it was done in collaboration with Civil Service in the light of day through multiple public hearings. So I really don't, I'm not able to really speak about the unclassified requests that were made that I think is key to this decision.
Ronald, as it relates to command positions or leadership, how many total unclassified positions are there in the NOPD? Do you know?
There are five. There are five deputy superintendents and
so
the superintendent.
Five unclassified in a force of 1,200?
Yep. And at some time, it was five unclassified with a force of 1,700. Now, look. You know, I've been a chief in other places, and I've seen this in other places. It is not uncommon for levels of command above the rank of lieutenant and in super large departments above the rank of captain to be selected at will, and here's why. You said it in your truth to power moment. If you're the sheriff or I'm the chief, I think we can have confidence that a test can help us identify sergeants who can learn more and be more. I think it can do it on lieutenants, perhaps. But by the time you get to the rank of captain or major or deputy chief, and this is what I testified to in Washington, Nashville, and New Orleans on these issues, when you get to that level of command, the ability to regurgitate an examination is not the crucial measure. The measure is what have you done the last 10, 15 years when you were in a position of command and authority. That is common in large police departments across the country, not a civil service exam that tries its best to replicate what you might be, as opposed to the chief or sheriff saying, hey, I've got your whole 10-year career here, Newell. For 10 years, you were a lieutenant. Look at all these wonderful things you did. The test isn't going to tell me as much as what your behavior showed me at that level.
Yeah, no, and that's why this whole argument that is made just runs counter to
not the way IBM runs itself.
Yeah, contemporary leadership principles, trying to identify the credible leaders that you have within your organization. Some advance at a rate much faster than others, based upon experience, education, and otherwise. And in other cases, not so much. And the test doesn't actually ever reveal that. But, you know, how much of a consideration is longevity as it relates under the civil service rules?
So our civil service rules do not reward longevity in the testing process any longer. That was stopped by the Williams consent decree back in the mid-1980s. So longevity doesn't really play a part at all. What does play a part is in 1999 and 2000, Chief Pennington and I, working together with Mike Doyle, had the civil service rules changed to require a bachelor's degree for a lieutenant or above and an associate's degree for sergeant. And that's still in place, and it's a good thing because the education of people provides them the opportunity to be able to learn. Let me give you an example. I love the New Orleans Police Department. Spent 25 years of my life, and my family's been here since 1914 serving the New Orleans Police Department. And I love the Nashville Police Department. Here's the difference, Newell. 75% of the cops in Nashville had degrees. 25% of the cops in New Orleans had degrees. Which would you think it would be easier to implement new and aggressive ideas and changing behavior?
No, absolutely. Education is a key. Whether it's formal or informal education,
yes, exactly.
There's benefits to both and you know, consideration.
That's why we pushed it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
And look, I'm not to suggest I'm being a hypocritical either. You know, I came here with a GED and was probably illiterate. But it doesn't mean we have to keep doing it the same way as it was when I started in 1980. And likewise, this civil service decision supported by the – I mean, this civil service position, action, et cetera, by the Supreme Court is a testimony to continuing the same laws that are decades old. Shouldn't we be considering changing those laws? That, I think, is the next step.
No, absolutely. Ronald Serpas, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your insight.
All right, Greg. Have a great day, Newell.
All right, man. That's Ronald Serpas, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola and the former NOPD chief. It's going to be interesting to see where this is all going to play out. Obviously, Superintendent Sean Ferguson has his hands full on any given day. I analogize this to maybe putting one arm behind his back, but that's just me. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.